Two letters and a single number bring almost instant recognition in our part of the world. OR7 is the designation from a radio collar that became a name for a wolf that captured the public's imagination a few years ago. OR7 is the wolf that wandered from eastern Oregon to western Oregon, then into California. He finally found a mate, and they had offspring, forming the Rogue Pack in southwestern Oregon. Now, the offspring have had offspring, and some of those live in California. OR7's DNA is present in the recently identified Lassen Pack, so here's a chance to catch up on wolf happenings in California. Pete Figura is a senior environmental scientist in the northern region of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and our guest on The Exchange. Pete, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeffrey.
So, do we have an overall count on wolves in California now?
Boy, the overall count that we know of as of last week would probably be 6.
Okay, so just the two packs then, right?
Well, at this point, and this would be a kind of a confirmed recent count. We have the Lassen, the breeding male, the breeding female, and other additional review and additional trail camera photos, we've realized that there were actually at least 4 pups rather than 3 pups that were present.
4 pups in the Lassen pack?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that a fairly typical wolf litter, or slightly larger than typical?
That's fairly typical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what I think the range is typically 1 to 7, can be a little higher sometimes, but I think in that range is pretty typical.
Give us an idea, Pete, it sounds like a bunch of detective work goes into figuring out that you have a pack, in fact, forming and present, because you have to look for scat, and I know the trail cameras have come into play, but what other sorts of tools do you use, and how long can it take to confirm that you have pups?
Well, it can take a long time or a short time. it just depends. With respect to the Lassen, the wolves we have in Lassen County now, we first saw a sign of what we believe to be the female wolf in the summer and fall of 2015. And that was just sort of a lucky, couple of detections on a trail camera. At that point, we were not sure that it was a wolf, kind of looked like a wolf, but we wanted to be sure. And so then it takes time and detective and field work to track down genetic samples, which typically come in the form of scats, sometimes hair, and so forth. And so it was really 2016, the following summer, when we were finally able to do that, and when we also realized that at that point there was a second wolf present, and it was a male wolf. And then fast forward to the current spring and summer when we were finally able to capture one of those adult wolves, the female, and actually the day after that verified that they had pups. So, the whole process took quite a long time. But of course, the way we found out that they had pups was just one day checking a trail camera and also seeing some tracks that look consistent with pup tracks as well.
I want to ask about the use of the term and the device itself, trail camera. I've gotten used to hearing it, but I mean, are these things that are placed specifically to look for certain wildlife in certain places, or are they certain things that are mounted all the time just for whatever?
Trail cameras, they've gotten cheaper and cheaper, and they're fairly ubiquitous, and so many people use them, private and public. A lot of people use them just to get images of wildlife. Hunters use them as part of their scouting efforts and so forth. Here in our agency, we do use them for a variety of projects, and sometimes they're sort of general cameras, trying to just figure out what type of typically mammals and often carnivores are using a specific area. And sometimes we set them out to try to detect a certain animal, sometimes a wolf. We've done this for things like the Sierra Nevada red fox, another rare canid that we have in this area. So there's a variety of uses and different types of sets that you would, different ways and locations you'd put them to detect different things.
Do the trail cameras make any sound? I ask this only because it seems like the puppies are always looking at them.
Yeah, that's a great question. To us, the trail cameras do not make any sound. You cannot hear anything. And most of the ones that we use do not put out any sort of light that's visible to humans. But there was a paper published a couple of years ago that, where they put trail several different models, makes and models of trail cameras in sort of an acoustic chamber. And they certainly do create some sort of noise as they're operational, at levels that we can't hear. But it did seem consistent. Not all mammals do we have a very good a range of what they can and cannot hear. But it seemed like there was a possibility that trail cameras do make noises that certain animals may hear and even see,
okay.
Those flashes that they may emit.
Sure, and when you live out in the woods, and you know, you need to be able to hear lots of things to get your dinner and that sort of thing. It probably I wouldn't be surprised if you can hear that sort of thing. We're talking to Pete Figura at California Department of Fish and Wildlife. He's a senior environmental scientist in the northern region, and we're talking about wolves and more specifically the Lassen pack. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Wolf questions and comments welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So have an established paternity here. The Lassen pack is actually the pups anyway are the grandchildren of OR7. Is that right?
That is correct. The male of the Lassen pack, the breeding male, he was born. OR7, as you remember, you know, spent some time in California, 2011, 12, and parts of 13. Kind of returned to Oregon for good in 2013. Found a mate, and you know, his first litter was born in 2014, and this particular, what we now know as the Lassen male, was born in that litter. And we were lucky that, you know, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife had picked up some scats, I believe, in the vicinity of the den. And so they sort of had that DNA profile on file. And when we were able to find some scats from the male last year, you know, lo and behold, they matched. And that's how we could figure out that that lineage.
Pardon me if this is a dumb question, but I do own a dog, and I, you know, watch the ways in which dogs try to obscure their own scat. I wonder how careful wolves are about the same sort of thing.
They don't seem too careful, and in fact, they, you know, a lot of wild canids use scats and urine as a form of communication, letting other animals know where they are. And so often wolves, just like coyotes and foxes, will leave scats in fairly conspicuous spots, right along trails, right along roads, at junctions, and so forth. And that's not always the case, but they do leave scats out in the woods.
Partly as a warning, like, don't enter, this is my fence?
That's possible, but, you know, I hesitate to say exactly what they're,
okay,
what they're doing.
I want to ask about the travels of OR7. I know much has been made over the years about his journey, and of course he was radio collared at the time, so pretty much the whole world could keep track of how far he was going, and he was covering quite a bit of distance. But as we see more behavior from more wolves in our part of the world, it seems like perhaps his journey was not quite so remarkable. I mean, is it fairly typical then for a wolf to travel as far as he did?
I don't know if it's typical. But clearly he was not the only one. You know, Southern Oregon is now, you know, home to a variety of wolves. Most, at least, you know, those that weren't born there seem to have mostly come from northeastern Oregon, up in, you know, Wallowa County and that general area. And so, you know, those animals traveled maybe not all the way into California, although like OR25 is another colored Oregon wolf who has entered California several times. So yeah, we are finding that, you know, I mean, it's always been known that wolves can make great dispersal, you know, efforts, but modern GPS collars are showing that more and more. And this is sort of what we've seen in other states as well. There was a wolf a couple of years ago that sort of made the headlines, that traveled from near Yellowstone area down to almost to the north rim of the Grand Canyon.
Wow. From Yellowstone to Grand Canyon?
Yep.
Wow, that's quite a circuit.
Right.
So you mentioned that there's a collar on the female in the Lassen pack?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're able to keep some tabs on the Lassen pack. How about for the Shasta pack?
No, the Shasta pack, we do not have a collar on, and we do not know their current status. Mm-hmm. You know, they were, you know, verified as having pups in August of 2015. We were able to detect them fairly regularly until late November of 2015. At that point, you know, winter set in, and we suspect they moved a little bit from because of the snow and animal, you know, their prey animals moving as well. And since then, we've had very limited contact with them. We did detect one of the yearling males in May of 2016, and that was the only time that we have, that's been the last that we've seen, you know, confirmed of the Shasta pack since then. Interestingly enough, he was later detected by SCAT in northwestern Nevada in November of last year. So I guess that's a long answer to your question, but we do not have any animals collared in the Shasta pack.
Okay. So all right. So at this point, we're talking about six wolves in California altogether.
That we know of.
That you know of, yeah.
The Shasta pack certainly, you know, it's possible that many of the members and all the members, you know, could still be present. But we have not been able to locate them, despite looking fairly hard.
You mentioned litters of 1 to 7 pups. I mean, can a mating pair produce pups annually?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's typical that they do breed annually and produce pups annually.
Okay, and how many breeding seasons usually are there? Do we know?
Generally one per, you know,
but over the course of a lifetime of a wolf.
Oh, over the course of a lifetime. I think some of the wolves in Yellowstone have lived up to 12 years, and mm-hmm. I think some of those have produced pups during most of those years.
Wow.
So
do a little math there, and you can figure out that there are a fair number of pups that can be created.
Correct.
So talk about the stakeholder working group, if you would, and the role that it took in wolf management in California.
Mm-hmm. Even before OR7 arrived, it was starting to become clear to the department that, you know, it was probably just a matter of time before wolves, you know, did re-enter California. And then certainly OR7's arrival, you know, furthered that along. And so we started to plan, you know, for a wolf management effort in California. How would we deal with them when they arrived? And so we established what we called the Stakeholder Working Group, which had representatives of 19 different organizations, everything from county agricultural commissioners, sportsmen's groups, livestock producers, and representatives like the Farm Bureau, the Cattlemen's Association, and so forth, to sort of wildlife conservation organizations and, you know, a whole host of folks. And we had many, many meetings with those people to kind of work together and seek input from them as the department sought to develop a wolf conservation and management plan.
And are there particular areas of concern, just physical parts of the state of California, where you think there could be some conflicts between wolves and wildlife as the wolf population grows?
With wildlife, I mean, some of the key things, key concerns that we have are wolf interactions with livestock, for one, and then also potentially, too, their potential impacts on native wildlife as well, particularly our ungulates, our deer and elk. In those areas, deer and elk are, you know, they're fairly well distributed in the northernmost part of the state. In most places, they are, you know, where we had wolves so far, we've had deer in all those locations, and elk have been nearby. So I guess I wouldn't say there are particular areas, but, you know, throughout most of our counties here, Modoc, Siskiyou, Lassen, Shasta, even Trinity.
We're talking to Pete Figura at California Fish and Wildlife about wolves in California here on the Jefferson Exchange. I have to wonder about something with the fact that there are small numbers of wolves, anyway, known to us in Northern California, and whether there are concerns about inbreeding at some point. I know where urban areas hem in wildlife, like in Southern California with mountain lions, there's a fair amount of inbreeding, but I wonder if there's a concern either now or down the road about wolves that are somewhat close relatives and ending up producing offspring.
Mm-hmm. You know, that certainly may happen, and, you know, in fact, the Shasta pack, both of the breeding animals of the Shasta pack actually came from the same pack in Oregon, the Imnaha pack, and so they were siblings. They may not have been litter mates. We don't know exactly, you know, how old either of them were, but they were from the same parents. And so, you know, you did have siblings breeding to produce the Shasta pack offspring, and that has been documented to occur in wolves sometimes. It's not very common, but it does happen. Anecdotally, as I understand it, when it does happen, they often don't sort of form a long-term bond and may not breed again. So that may have something to do. It's speculative,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not that common. And then, of course, the OR7 also came from the Imnaha pack. So the wolves in California to date have been, you know, heavily influenced by that one pack in Oregon. You know, that said, in general, I don't believe that inbreeding is a large concern in most wild wolf populations, and I kind of expect we'll see more diversity as time goes on.
Does anyone know scientifically why it wouldn't happen more often? I mean, what the factors might be that would keep siblings generally from breeding?
I'm not sure about that, you know, but it does seem typical in most, most wildlife species that those mechanisms may not be exactly known, but most typically, you know, wolves tend to disperse, you know, younger wolves that are maturing tend to disperse away from their pack to find, you know, mates and so forth rather than, you know, stay in the pack.
Okay, let's
that may have to do with just the hierarchy as well.
Sure. Let's take a call here from Derek and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Pete Figura from California Fish and Wildlife.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to address wolf population influence on ungulates because it's, you know, a common refrain from people opposed to wolf reintroduction that they eat all their deer and elk. And while it's true, I can see a difference in local elk behavior where I hunt on West Side up in the Sky Lakes Wilderness. I guess I wanted to say that the biggest influence on elk population really comes from forest management practices and our land use practices, as well as just the management of the herd itself, in particular the decimation that goes on private land nearly year-round. And so I just wanted to point that out because it's a common refrain.
Okay, appreciate that, Derek. Pete Rather, any thoughts back on that?
It's certainly complicated, like Derek says, as to the various factors that influence ungulate populations. Certainly there are studies that point to predation in some cases as a main driver or an important driver, but habitat in particular generally is very important as to the overall health and numbers of animals and, you know, what the land can support.
Okay. Just a few seconds left here, Pete. Is the passage of wolves, the creation of wolf packs in California about where you thought it would be at this point, or is it slightly ahead of schedule?
I guess maybe I'd say about where we thought it would be. You know, it seems like it's been a since the OR7 came, then a couple of years later we had a pack, and then a couple of years later we had another pack. It does seem like the experiences in Oregon and Washington is that packs, get started kind of slowly, and then at some point they hit a critical mass where they really start to, increase their numbers relatively quickly.
Okay, we'll be seeing over the next couple of years what the growth looks like, but certainly we have a Shasta pack in California and a Lassen pack recently confirmed, and the Lassen pack male is one of the offspring of OR7, Oregon's famous wolf. Pete Figura, Senior Environmental Scientist, Northern Region, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, you're welcome.